Archers for the week 1-6, August 1999.
Church was dedicated in 1291. It was valued at 28 marks. By the reign of Henry VIII, it was valued at £13.06 and 8p. Now, how much would that be in euros?
I dread to think. Anyway, Solly, this is the font we're so proud of.
Oh, aye. Seen a minion archer christening.
The carved heads are meant to be King Edward I and Queen Eleanor of Castile.
Ah, no great looker, was she?
That's a bit harsh.
True, though. Sorry, Eleanor Pet. Where's Heather?
Still looking at the windows with Bert.
Oh, well, Jill, it's a credit to you all. The guide and the display board and everything.
We didn't have much choice. We had to do something if the church was going to stay unlocked.
Hello, Jill. Fleecing the tourists?
You know Ruth's father, Solly, don't you, Janet?
Nice to see you again.
And the same. Lovely service.
Oh, thank you.
And I was just saying, this tourist initiative of yours is new since we were last here.
I'm very lucky to have such an active congregation. I've hardly had to do a thing.
That's not true.
You're pretty active yourself, if you ask me. Raft races, new hymn books.
Yes. I thought you were very brave to grasp the nettle in your sermon.
I just felt I had to make things clear once and for all. There's been so much misinformation.
It sounds perfectly clear to me. You're going to have the old and the new hymn book side by side.
Will Phil be happy with that, Jill? He's the one who'll have to learn the new music.
You can ask him when he's finished, but I'm sure he will be. As you know, all he was worried about was scrapping the old ones altogether.
And it'll be nice for the bairns to sing the hymns they know from school. Magic Penny. That's little Pip's favourite.
Exactly. Old or new, all hymns rejoice in the faith, and beautiful as they are, how can we possibly go into the next millennium only singing hymns by Wesley and John Bunyan?
What was everyone saying as they left?
They seem to be coming round to the idea. To be honest, if I haven't had any serious objections by midweek, I'm going to go ahead and order the new books anyway.
Good for you.
There'll still be one objector, you know.
But, Well, I'm sorry, but he may just have to put up and shut up.
Well, I'm sorry too.
Are you? I thought...
Sorry to hear you say in your sermon. You've got no plans to start playing the guitar.
That was funny. Neil Carter looked quite disappointed.
I hope next time me and Heather were here, I could join you on keyboard.
Well, I don't want to spoil everyone's fun, but cosmetic surgery or no cosmetic surgery, I have no intention of becoming Ambridge's answer to Cher. Oh, Caroline, I'm so glad we did this. There, moonlight. That's better, isn't it?
Hey, steady, Maisie. That's enough now.
I wasn't sure you'd be able to get out.
Oh, with Mr. Willie away. Makes my job easier, actually.
I wonder how George enjoyed his big moment at the game fair.
Mm.
And while Jack's been away, you've changed the banking procedures and ordered new umbrellas for the swimming pool.
Not quite. Oh, for much as I love Mr. Willie, it is blissfully quiet without him. You're the one who had to squeeze in a ride between church, lunch and the cricket this afternoon.
Oh, don't. As soon as we got back from church, Sid was on the phone banging on about the state of the wicket. He's determined Edgerton aren't going to get the better of us.
Sounds like an epic contest. Mm. Perhaps I'll drop down and watch a bit.
Oh, you should. You always used to come to the cricket.
Yes, I know. Now it just reminds me too much of Guy.
Oh,
pardon. Anyway, this time next week you'll be setting off on your holidays.
Yes, yes, I can't wait. France, here we come.
It's not how I'd like to spend my birthday, sitting in a 50-mile tailback on the M5 with all the traffic going to Cornwall for the eclipse.
Ah, well, that's why we've got Plan B. We're sailing from Dover.
Oh, that's a bit out of your way, isn't it?
Oh, Alistair thinks it'll save time in the end. And there is one other big advantage.
Well, I'm thinking.
Well, if we'd been going west, we'd have had to give Kate and Phoebe a lift. She's meeting up with some new agers on Bodmin.
Oh, I see. Mm.
Listening to Daniel's favourite song tape 15 times is bad enough. But Kate going on about the moon and her menstrual cycle would really drive Alistair around the bend.
Not a good idea when you're in charge of a loaded people carrier on a motorway.
Still, it'll all be worth it when we get to Normandy and Daniel can set up his pinhole camera.
You know, I find it a bit baffling. I mean, I know it's an experience, the eclipse, but Half of Grey Gable staff are decamping to St. Ives.
Caroline, it's the first total eclipse for 70 years.
Well, I'll be quite happy with the 96% we get in Ambridge. If I like it, I should go to Madagascar for the next one.
Oh, that's ambitious.
And I have to say, I certainly wouldn't go camping in order to see it.
Oh, no, 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 you don't understand. It's not like when you went camping with Robin and the boys.
Oh, I hope not, for your sake.
No, the way we're doing it, the tents are all erected for you. There's swimming pools and bars and proper loos.
French or English style? And you've got a decent double bed, have you?
Well...
And Daniel's little bit of the tent is totally soundproof.
Caroline!
I'm only teasing. I'm sure it'll be fabulous.
It had better be. Not really camping at all, Alistair told me. And he's promised me a night in a chateau on our way to the second campsite in the Vendée.
Oh, I should hope so, too.
Oh, look. Look, it's one of the rafts.
Wow. Oh, that's quite a sail.
Yeah.
And those shields.
It must be the Cat and Fiddle. Yes, yes, there's Peter. And Roy, hi!
Hi there. They're going quite fast. Oh, they look exhausted. Sean must have promised them schnapps and smorgasbord when they finish.
You know, everyone seems to be taking this race very seriously.
Yeah, what with that and the Mighty Four?
Oh, who's gorgeous, according to Eddie.
There really should be something for everyone at this fete.
I might be a dangerous heretic when it comes to hymn books. But this is how I like me cricket. No fancy clothes or floodlit games here.
Don't let Sid hear you. I'm sure he'd have Neil rolling the pitch by a floodlight if he could.
It's so relaxing.
You're not talking about the cricket, are you? Alistair's blood pressure's practically off the scale.
Not more of Sid's advice.
Oh, he's already started going on about the pitch for next week. He wants a turning pitch for the game against Underwoods.
Ambridge have done pretty well in this game. 189 for five. They were right to declare.
And Edgerton are on 160.
Oh, champion!
Well, bold, David. 160 for eight.
Yes, well played. Oh, Shula, don't let me forget. I must remind David to tell Ruth that I'm hosting the WI coffee morning on Wednesday.
Oh, yes, you'll need the house, won't you?
It certainly wouldn't fit everyone in the bungalow.
I'm trying to persuade Heather to make you some of her parking.
Oh.
She says it's too heavy for this time of year.
She is good. She's already promised me some flapjacks.
She wouldn't like a job doing the cricket tees, would she? I've had to leave Caroline guarding the urn.
Shula?
Oh, no. If you turn your back, it cuts out. What is it?
The light keeps blinking.
Oh.
I don't know if it's on or off.
Do you want me to have a look at it?
Oh, would you?
I wouldn't trust him with anything technical. Look what he did to the women's raft last week.
But you redeemed yourself in the end, didn't you, Solly?
I hope so. Else I'll get it in the neck from me dear daughter when she gets back from this afternoon's practice. Anyway... Despite your mother's lack of faith, I'll see what I can do with you.
Oh, thank you.
I didn't mean it, really.
So, what's the score?
Oh, they're just changing it. 160-something. Good grief. Is she trying to put the players off?
It makes a change from streakers. A woman in medieval costume running around the pitch.
It's Janet.
Hi.
Oh... Afternoon.
I thought you were trying the boat out again.
We've done that. I've run all the way from the green.
Oh, what on earth for?
Well, the entrants don't just get on the rafts and paddle, Caroline. They have to run from the green to Edrich's Ditch.
Well, that's on the other side of the country park.
And then we launch the boats there, paddle down the Am to the bridge, then run back to the green carrying them.
You must be mad.
Are the others running as well? Well, we have a cunning plan. Usha, Ruth and I, because we're the fittest, believe it or not, are going to race up and get the thing launched. And the others can hop on when they arrive.
It's a good idea to practice running in costume.
Oh, yes, well, sadly, they didn't have breathable gussets in the year 1000. I'm boiling.
So where are the others?
Well, we met Siobhan mooching about on our own by the shop. Ruth stopped to talk to her, but I'd have thought Usha would be here by now.
Well, I'm impressed. I think you're in with a fighting chance.
Do you?
Yes, now the boat's river-worthy.
But I'm the only person who's made it this far from the green. And after last week, Haley's determined not to get wet again. I'm beginning to wonder if Ethelfled's maidens might sink without trace.
Oh. No, Jean-Paul, really. Just a little salad, really. Oh, what, the salmon? With juniper? Is there? Red pepper puree. Oh, well, all right then, if you insist.
Go on.
Mr. Woolley. Thanks, Jean-Paul. You spoil me. Bye.
When did
did you get back?
About half an hour ago. Now, look, Caroline.
How was the game fair? Did George get his award?
Oh, yes, it was fine, marvellous, went like a dream.
Oh, good. He was so excited. And his little chat to the public went well.
Oh, yes. But how have things been here?
Oh, fine. But I wasn't expecting you till tomorrow lunchtime at the earliest.
No, well, we were going to stay another night, but then I remembered our licence is up for renewal on Wednesday.
Yes.
Well, everything in order?
Yes, you know it is. The application went in on time. We've had the notices up for the required period.
Oh.
It's only a formality. We're hardly known for lock-ins and short measures at Grey Gables.
Well, you never know with these things. And Linda tells me there was a problem with the pool.
Oh, a baby squirrel got caught in one of the filters. But we managed to get it out alive.
Oh, well, never mind the squirrel. What about the guests?
Oh, it was 7 o'clock in the morning. They didn't even know. It's all under control, Mr. Wee.
Oh.
Everything's under control.
Oh, is it? Now, you obviously haven't seen the staff leave chart.
Well, what about it?
You do realise there's hardly anyone here next week. There's 3 staff off in the restaurant alone.
Yes, it's the eclipse, you see. Now, Julius has had his 2 weeks in Lake Balaton booked for ages.
Lake who?
Oh, it's in Hungary, Mr. Willie.
Oh.
On the path of the total eclipse. He's got family there.
What about Luigi? And Karen?
Yes, well, they're in the Camping in Cornwall fraternity.
Both of them?
They're a couple, Mr. Willie.
Oh, it's really not good enough, Caroline. How could you let it happen?
Well, there wasn't much I could do. She was following him round with a sprig of mistletoe the whole of Christmas.
Oh, not that. The holidays.
It's really not a problem. I've got Alison in to cover Julius. Yeah. Then there's Jeremy. Mm. Mr. Willie?
No.
Oh. No, it's all right, Mr. Willie. Let's just get you sitting down.
I've got a pain.
Yes, Willie. Just sit down here. Come on. Now, lean on this. It's all right. I'll call the doctor.
Caroline.
But don't worry. You're going to be all right. You're going to be all right, I'm sure.
Now, Jack, just relax, can you? While I attach these little pads to your chest.
Mm.
And your arms.
Mm.
Huh?
I feel such a fool. I'm fine now.
No, you're not. You've had a nasty scare. So did I.
I'm sorry, love. I didn't even want Caroline to phone you.
She did the right thing.
Well, you couldn't be in a better place than Grey Gables, with a luxurious guest room to lie down in.
Do you like it? We just had it done up.
Now, you've seen one of these before, haven't you? It's just a portable ECG machine. It'll give me a printout of your heart trace.
Oh, I do feel guilty. Dragging you away from that lovely wife of yours on a Sunday night.
Yes, I'm sorry about that.
Don't worry, really.
It's Caroline, you know. She's very good, but she panics. Oh, look at that, Peggy. Isn't it clever?
Now, let's see what it says first.
Yes. Oh, as I expected, everything looks okay.
There, Peggy, what did I tell you?
It doesn't look as if it was anything too serious.
Of course not. I'm as fit as a butcher's dog.
So it's not going to happen again?
Let's just take these off you, Jack. I can't promise that exactly.
Look, I've had a pacemaker for years, I know, but I'm not...
You've got ischemic heart disease, angina. That's why you've got the little spray.
Oh, yeah. And when Caroline found it in my pocket and I had a couple of puffs, I began to feel better.
Good, that's what it's there for. You can put your shirt back on now.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Peggy.
It's more important to try and pin down exactly why you should have had an attack. Have you been under any stress lately?
No.
Well...
Which is it?
You have had a lot on, Jack. We had that big party for his 80th a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yes, of course.
And this weekend we were in Yorkshire for the game fair.
Nonsense, Peggy. It's nothing to do with that.
Well, I'd like you to come and see me next week anyway for a follow-up.
Do I have to?
Just as a precaution.
He's trying to write me off, isn't he, Peggy? I can tell you, Doctor, I'm not popping off just yet.
I didn't say you were.
Peggy and I have only just started collecting some limited edition plates.
Oh, Jack.
Scenes of Old Birmingham. We've only got 2 out of the 12. And there's that special bottle of malt I was given for my birthday. I'm not going anywhere till I've drunk that.
Precisely. You're 80 years old, Jack. That's exactly what you should be doing. Taking some time to sit in your chair, sip a malt whiskey and look at your collector's plates.
Are you listening, Jack?
What were you doing rushing up here anyway when you'd only just got back from a nice weekend away?
That's exactly what I said.
If I were you, I'd be thinking about taking life just a little more slowly.
Jamie, share that bread with Josh. And no paddling.
Morning, Cathy.
Oh, morning, Siobhan.
I was just on my way over. I've got something for you.
Oh?
I bet you'd forgotten about these.
My saucepans.
Oh, it's months since you lent them me, and I've been meaning to bring them back. I've just had a lot on lately.
Oh, don't worry about it. I thought it was another bagful for the White Elephant stall.
Oh, are you in charge of it?
Well, not on the day. The Over-60s usually run it, but I'm storing the stuff. No, on Saturday, I am the Ambridge soothsayer. If you turn up at my tent, I'll read the runes for you. Tell you all you want to know. Births, marriages, tall, handsome strangers.
Really?
Not necessarily in that order, of course.
So, the old millennium theme's going to work?
Once Linda's decided on something, you can't get out of it. I'm surprised she hasn't had these ducks culled in case they're a breed that wasn't around in the year 1000. But it should be a bit of fun.
Yes.
Oh, Jamie, come back this way, love. And you, George.
That's right.
You are coming to the fete, aren't you?
Well, I'm not sure.
Oh, Linda'll have you in the stocks if you don't. Attendance is compulsory. It's what village life's all about.
Oh, well, we'll see.
Actually, you and Tim are falling seriously behind on your attendance at village events. No sign of you at the cricket yesterday, which we won, I might add.
Oh, good.
All down to Sid's advice on pitch preparation, of course. Or so he tells me.
It all sounds a bit complicated.
Not if you're an obsessive like my husband. They're all the same, aren't they? I think he hoped when you were so keen on the single wicket, you might become avid supporters.
Single wicket? Seems ages ago.
It's only a couple of months.
Our first few months in Ambridge seemed like a dream. Everything seemed so perfect.
Then you met Jason. Oh, now, Jamie, come on. Give Josh that last bit. Go on. He's littler than you are.
I thought you only had the one.
Oh, I do. Josh belongs to Ruth and David. Oh. He's come down to play at our house for a change. Oh, dear.
They seem to be having a bit of a disagreement.
It's all right, Jamie. You're okay now. Look, give the ducks a bit more bread. That's a good boy. Oh, it always seems like a good idea having someone to play, but they only end up fighting. Jamie's the same with Daniel. I spend all my time refereeing.
Well, I suppose it's good for them to have the company, if they haven't got a brother or a sister.
Oh, and I wouldn't have another. No way. I mean, I'm too old anyway.
Right.
And to tell you the truth, when I was expecting Jamie, I wasn't that thrilled.
Really?
Oh, I wouldn't be without him now. But at the time... Well, we were just opening a restaurant. It was the last thing I wanted.
Look, I've got to go. Sorry, I just remembered something. Here.
Bye.
And how's Mr. Woody today?
He says he's fine, of course, but I've left him resting.
Very wise.
I wanted to thank you, Caroline, for all you did last night.
Oh, don't mention it, Mrs. Woolley. I just hope I didn't overreact. The last thing I wanted to do was worry you.
It must have been worrying for you, though, and an unwelcome reminder.
Of Guy? Yes, it was, rather.
You did all the right things. Dr. Hathaway's told Jack to go for a check-up next week, and he's advised him to take things more slowly.
And you think Mr. Woolley will take some notice, do you?
To be perfectly honest, no. But the doctor's quite right. Jack really ought to slow down.
Was he at all specific?
Well, he clearly thinks Jack ought to retire.
Oh, but he is retired. He retired on his 69th birthday when I was appointed general manager. Since when, he's been up at Grey Gables for some part of every day.
I know. When we got married, he promised me that he'd scale things down. But he can't keep away, Caroline.
What about an electric fence at the end of your drive at the lodge? He works with the cows.
I wish it were that simple. For his own good, he's got to be made to give up work. And properly this time.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Oh, I hoped you'd say that. You won't miss him too much.
No! Don't get me wrong. Mr. Wood's contribution's still very valuable. But you deserve to spend more time together.
Oh, you have encouraged me, Caroline. I was wondering if I was being selfish, wanting to pull him away from here.
Oh, not at all. You want to enjoy your time together. Walk in the country park when the bluebells are out or the leaves are changing colour. Or just enjoy your garden.
That sounds lovely.
Instead of him dashing up here the whole time, fretting about the fish delivery and has the laundry sent back the bathrobes.
Well, you've convinced me, Caroline. Now all we've got to do...
is to convince...
Caroline!
Jack! You're supposed to be resting.
Oh, nonsense. I'm fine. Never feel better.
You really should think about what the doctor said, Mr. Woody, and take things quietly.
Yes, but it's room 23, Caroline. That nice Italian couple.
They say their shower's running cold.
How cold?
I don't know. I haven't been under it.
You wouldn't have thought people would want a very hot shower at this time of year.
Precisely. We always turn down the thermostat by a couple of degrees.
Well, I think you better have a word, Caroline. It's come to something when the Italians are complaining about our plumbing.
I'll see to it right away. And, perhaps we could finish our conversation another time, Mrs. Willie.
Yes, Caroline. I really think we should.
What's that, Peggy? Anything I need to know about?
No, Jack. Nothing that need concern you at all.
No, no, I agree. Yeah. Come in. Okay, so, T.O.P. Thursday morning, then. I'll let her know. Won't be a minute.
Okay.
11 o'clock? Right. Yeah, thanks a lot. Bye. Well, Mrs. Hathaway, what can I do for you?
You can stop being so cheerful for a start. That's not allowed on a Monday, is it?
All part of the service. Well, are you taking a screen break?
I'm taking a brush break. I couldn't concentrate on any work, so I thought I'd do some jobs around the house.
Oh, sounds good to me. Does that mean there'll be some supper? Joke.
I've tidied up the clutter under the stairs, and I started painting the small bedroom.
Ah.
Well, it's got to be done. I thought it might be some sort of occupational therapy. Just what the doctor would have ordered.
Only it doesn't seem to be working too well.
I never did like the smell of paint.
You don't have to do it. We'll get Jason back.
Maybe. What have you been doing today?
Oh, it's been my day for noses. Runny noses, hay fever.
Terminations.
What do you mean?
On the phone just now. T.O.P. You were sending somebody for a termination of pregnancy.
I hoped you hadn't heard.
All the wrong people seem to get pregnant, don't they? I took those saucepans back to Kathy Perks, and she told me straight out she was very unsure about having her baby. Wrong timing and all of that.
Everyone's situation's different.
Well, ours was perfect. New job for you, flexible working for me, country cottage, fresh air.
Oh, don't, darling, come on.
Everything was going to plan. Everything. Now it's all up in the air.
I know, I know.
I did everything right. I ate what was good for me. I took my folic acid. I hardly had a drink from the time we thought we'd try.
You did everything right.
Yes, but it's still gone wrong. Why?
There isn't a reason. It just happens.
When did it
you
start to
that?
Go wrong, though? Did I make it happen? Was it that glass of champagne I had? Could I have done something different?
No. Come on, stop it.
I know. I know it really. But I wish I hadn't bothered. I wish I'd drunk like a fish and lived on...
Shh, no you don't.
I know it's stupid. And it's so childish, but I feel so cheated. I just took it for granted that we could have a baby. And then we were having one, and now we're not anymore.
Oh, my darling. I don't know what you want me to say.
It's not so easy, is it? When I'm not one of your patients. You haven't got all the answers.
No. No, I haven't got any answers.
Oh, look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, don't be.
I don't mean to take it out on you. I know it's hard for you as well. Sure, you're dealing with pregnant women all the time. You've got your antenatal clinic to do and everything.
You know me. I'll survive.
I just feel so alone here. There's no one.
There's me.
That's not what I meant.
Come on. We've made lots of friends.
Yes. And the person I like best of all is having twins. How am I supposed to deal with that?
Brian has the harvest on his mind, but do the women of the family share his concerns?
That was Mum on the phone. Jack seems to have quite recovered.
Oh, jolly good.
Andy, I wanted to check the tyres on that trailer before you take it out again.
Tim Hathaway's been absolutely marvellous. He's such a nice chap.
Oh. That wife of his is quite a live wire, isn't she? Though she hasn't been looking so perky lately, I thought.
When did you see her?
Huh? Oh, she was mooching about the village green on Sunday when I went to check on the bailing at the estate. It looked like she was going to throw herself in the pond.
You say I overdramatise.
Well, unless you're an expert in pondweed, there's not much to see down there, is there?
She was probably just out for a walk.
Oh, these dinky professionals don't know they're born. Wish I had the time. Hand you back.
Well, I'm not exactly twiddling my thumbs myself. Oh, you definitely need me up at the riding course today, do you?
Oh, you're not going to let me down?
Well, I'm supposed to be collecting tombola prizes for the fair.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Well, it's got to be done, Brian.
Well, give him a couple of bottles of that peculiar white Rioja the wine merchant worked on to us.
Well, can I?
Well, give him the whole gate.
Oh, thank you, darling.
Well, it'll cost me less than missing out on a day's takings. Now, I'll drop you up there on my way to check on the deer. Pick you up about five-ish.
Brian, what about your lunch?
Yeah, I hope Sandy brought any barley yet.
Oh, you just missed him.
I want him to give me a lift up to the field. I'm taking over the combine at 12.
We might catch him. He's gone round to check the trailer tires. At least I hope he has.
Great. Oh, sorry, excuse me. Hello?
Oh, there's an aubergine patty, darling.
Oh,
shh.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, I'm very well. How are you?
It's a wonder we got any crops cut at all last week. Number of phone calls she was getting from this new boyfriend.
Well, if she hasn't got time to see him, what else can she do?
I just hope she's got her mind on the harvest, that's all. This is the most important time of year for us.
Oh, Debbie knows that.
Oh, I suppose so. Yeah. I'm surprised she hasn't asked him over one evening. Well, that's one way they could get together, surely.
Maybe he's busy as well.
In the evenings? What is he, a door-to-door salesman?
Sorry about that.
If you're on the combine this afternoon, Debbie, watch the real speed control.
I know. It's that patchy field.
Well, I know the computer could do it all for you, but with a cutter bar, that
would... Yes, okay, Dad.
Right, well, I'm going to check the price on the net. See you later.
See you.
He's getting very edgy about this new boyfriend of yours.
I haven't got a new boyfriend.
Wasn't that Simon on the phone?
Yes. He's coming over later.
What? Here?
He can't wait. I've never tried being unavailable before. Certainly works.
Debbie, I hope you know what you're doing.
Stop worrying. I'm not going to parade him in front of Dad.
Sorry I'm a bit late.
That's okay.
Had to report to the police station, and there was this bloke in front of me going on about his neighbours.
I used the time to read through the witness statements again. Have a seat.
Thanks.
Are you clear about what we're doing today?
You said we'd call one or two of them up and see what else we could get out of them.
Well, yes, sort of. The idea is to tease out a bit more from them and work out who'll be best in court. I thought we'd speak to Lynn Adams first.
She's the bee woman, right?
Gene transfer in pollen's her main thing, yes.
Lynn Adams.
Lynn, it's Usha Gupta here.
Oh, hi, Usha.
I've got Tom Archer with me. Are you still okay to go through your statement?
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Good. Can you just tell us, first of all, about the nature of your research?
Well, I've been researching for 5 years, and my experiments clearly show that transgene material...
Oh, that's genetically modified material.
That's right. Transgene material is a stable component of pollen, along with native gene material.
So, pollen's a route by which transgenes, and presumably their products, could be released into the wider environment from transgenic plants.
Exactly.
And the rape at home farm was about to produce pollen.
Which would have ended up in honey, there's no question about that.
In significant amounts?
It's quite possible. Bees are particularly attracted to oilseed rape. They might well have targeted this crop in preference to other flowers.
There you go, then.
There's data to show that at least some pollen products are stable in honey, which means there's a strong likelihood of some transgene products getting through.
But you're not suggesting that if I eat a spoonful of honey on my toast in the morning, I'm going to keel over?
Not at all. Some people would say that because these proteins are stable in honey, that's a good sign.
Why is that?
It's when they're altered in some way. That's when you might get some allergic reaction.
I see.
Even so, we shouldn't ignore the health implications. GM pollen is going to find its way into honey.
Yeah, what about the monarch butterfly in the States? The caterpillar's got wasted by toxic proteins in GM maize pollen.
Yes, but that crop was engineered for pest resistance. It had a sort of built-in insecticide.
Right.
We're not dealing with that here, don't forget.
Oh, there was something else, Lynn. Yes, you mentioned tests on bees exposed to GM oilseed rape, which showed them dying 15 days earlier in their life cycle.
That's right, government-sponsored tests.
But they've still allowed planting to go ahead this summer. So what if the Barry Woods are bigger?
Now, that's just the sort of thing I don't want you jumping up and shouting out in court, Tom.
It's true, though, isn't it, Lynn?
Well, yes.
Maybe, but it's not relevant to your case. This is very useful stuff you're giving us, Lynn. Now, can I just ask you, on a connected point, about the specific issue of the contamination of organic crops?
OK, I'm impressed. Last time I saw a console like this was in The Phantom Menace.
You haven't seen it. You said we'd go together.
Well, what was I supposed to do all weekend? You were too busy to see me. I was bored.
I thought you were rearranging all the furniture in the flat.
Now I've tried, but it's not the same without you.
And what about your students? I thought they'd keep you amused.
They all went off to eat shortbread in Howard.
Aw, leaving you all alone in the world.
Yep, just me and my galactic companions. Hey, what does this do?
No, don't touch that. It's the cutter bar setting.
Well, now I'm a whole lot wiser.
And what's that
auger thing you were talking about before?
Oh, the auger's the big sort of container that the crop's fed into as it's cut. Then it goes through the pre-separation system and into the drum and concaves. Oh, they separate the ear from the straw.
And the wheat from the chaff.
Very good.
And while the machine's doing all the work, you watch your little television here. I bet you'll be switching over to Oprah Winfrey soon.
Yeah, very funny. No, the computer screen tells you everything you need to know, see? Mm-hmm. It's the yield, how damp the crop is, that's the temperature, oh, and even grain loss from the sieves and rotors.
So where's the challenge?
Challenge?
I thought farming was all about battling the elements, a struggle for survival, man pitted against the forces of nature. And here we are, cruising along, the sun shining.
Oh, it may look easy when it's like this, but last year we had this catchy harvest, a day of sun, a day of rain, it was a nightmare. And if you really want elemental forces, come back in January when we're lambing.
Yeah, sure, don't you worry, I'll still be here.
Good, you'll be able to give me a hand.
You've changed so much.
Hey, no compliments, please, not while I'm driving.
Oh, it's got to be a compliment, has it?
Well, when I think back to the naive 20-year-old you knew before, yes, it has.
Uh-oh, your real height control's changing.
Oh, well, that's because the field's starting to slope. The steering's altered too, feel.
Huh. Yeah, I could get to like this.
Oh, yeah, let's swap jobs. I'll go and teach imagery and you cut the wheat next week.
Oh, no, I mean leaning up against you, steering this thing. Just you and me and this billowing sea of barley.
And Andy driving the trailer. And, oh, great.
What?
There, in the Range Rover coming down the track. It's Dad.
Well, I thought that was pretty helpful.
Yeah, Lynn was great, wasn't she? What a woman.
She certainly knows her stuff. What I like about her research is that it's quite specific, but it's got a wide general application. Yeah, I think we can do something with her. So, that's it for today.
Right. I'd better get home or Dad'll be groaning. He's fed up enough about the time this is all taking.
Still busy harvesting.
The barley's in, but there's still the baling to do, and I'm irrigating the veg this afternoon.
Well, your Dad'll have to spare you next week for the committal hearing. But it'll only last about 5 minutes. It'll simply refer the case to the Crown Court.
OK.
I had the papers through ages ago. Oh, and by the way, I seem to be gaining a bit of a reputation as the protester's friend. Kirsty rang me up.
Oh, yeah?
Hmm. She's asked me to represent her and her co-defendants in the Northamptonshire case.
Great.
They've all been granted conditional bail, but they mustn't have any contact with each other. You're not having any contact with any of your gang, are you?
No, of course not.
Good.
I'm not allowed to do anything. I can't even go in the young farmers team for the raft race because all this is taking up too much time.
If you could see my bruises from shouldering our raft, you'd realise how lucky you are.
I really wanted to do it.
I'm so stiff I can hardly get out of bed in the mornings. You know, Janet's got us running up to the country park every day. She's even done it in costume.
You're kidding?
Oh, no.
And I can't play cricket because David's in the team.
I'm sorry, Tom. But not playing cricket is hardly regarded as paying your debt to society. Anyway, there are compensations.
Am I being a bit slow here?
Your bail conditions can be used to your advantage, like getting out of any social situations that you don't fancy.
Oh, that. Grandad's party.
I saw the photo in Borsetshire Life. I take it both sides of the family use the evening as a chance to kiss and make up.
Yeah, a bit. Mum and Dad are cool now, but you never know with Uncle Brian and Auntie Jen.
Oh?
I don't suppose it'll be long before they find something else to fall out over.
You knew?
Oh, Brian, be careful. Mind the ruts.
Debbie's got that man in the combine whispering sweet nothings when she should be watching out for low-level hydrostatic, and you knew?
Well, I wasn't sure they were meeting today. Well, that is... Well, I didn't know even exactly they were going...
But you knew it was him. That smarmy creep Simon Gerrard.
Well, I didn't.
This mysterious new boyfriend of hers isn't so mysterious after all. And you don't even tell me. Or should I say old boyfriend? He's twice her age.
Well, I don't think so. He's mid-40s, I should say.
Rubbish, he's 50 if he's a day.
Anyway, he's not her boyfriend. She said so only this morning.
Well, what is he then, her lover?
No, nothing like that. Honestly, Brian, you've got it all wrong. He's just an old friend.
Oh, yes.
I really don't think there's anything in it. He's working over here, and she's the only person he knows, so he got back in touch.
And that's what she's told you, is it?
Well, it's the truth, Brian. Oh, hey, do be careful. You're throwing us all over the place.
Sorry.
Anyway, I think we did the right thing not to stop.
I didn't dare let myself.
You wonder why I didn't tell you. I knew you'd react like this.
Like what? Like someone who cares what happens to his daughter when there's a predatory older man on the scene.
He's not predatory.
He's predatory and he's dangerous. I mean, don't forget, I had to manhandle him out of the house last time he was here.
I know. And the next thing was Debbie ran away and she disappeared for days.
Saying her last fond goodbye to him. Or so I thought.
I couldn't risk that again. Not after what we went through with Kate.
Debbie's nothing like Kate, Jenny. She's always had more sense. Used to have, anyway.
Well, she is sensible. And she's older now. She's 28. And she can see Simon whether we like it or not.
Oh, really? Well, not on my farm, she can't.
Well, at Lower Loxley, Elizabeth has for once been taking Julia's advice.
That melon looks delicious.
Would you like a piece?
No, thanks, Lizzie. I've just had a coffee with Mummy. No, you carry on.
I will. And you can tell Julia that I've already had my poached egg on wholemeal toast.
Well done, you.
And then I'm going to spoil it all by gorging on flapjacks at Mum's coffee morning.
What's this?
It's for the WI. I offered to help pass the plates. Cunning, eh?
I can't say I blame you. Your mother's flapjacks are out of this world.
And then I'm having lunch at the Bull with Siobhan, if I've still got room. So, did Julia enjoy the theatre last night?
Oh, very much. And Lewis, apparently, was a very thoughtful escort.
Oh, isn't he wonderful? Was there life before Lewis?
I sometimes wonder. Oh, and he sent his estimate as requested by Mummy.
For the accommodation block? Well?
I'm glad you're sitting down. It's six figures, beginning with quite a high number.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, Lizzie. I know you shouldn't have any nasty shocks in your condition.
Oh, don't be silly, Nigel. I asked him for the quote. Now, I see.
I wasn't expecting it to cost this much. You see, to finance it, we'd have no alternative but to sell off the cottages. And maybe even the farms.
What about our plans for the art gallery?
Oh, they'll still go ahead. You see, the outlay's minimal, really.
And the work's underway.
They're laying the floor as we speak.
Oh, that lovely blonde wood. Maybe we should have gone for something cheaper.
No, Lizzie, the art gallery's your baby. Well, one of them. And I want it to be done properly.
Oh, Nigel. Oh, I do love you.
It's just as well you didn't marry me for my money, isn't it?
It's your mind I'm interested in, you know that.
And not my rolling acres. Good, because unless we do something to revitalise the conference business, the only thing rolling around here will be the tumbrils.
I know. Without accommodation, we just can't compete.
Lewis has enclosed a couple of sketches. Look.
Oh, that one's rather nice, built around a courtyard. You know, it's not going to be easy breaking it to Julia if we decide to go ahead.
You never know. She might surprise us.
How? By donning a hard hat and mucking in?
You know what fun she had with the builders who sorted out the roof.
Oh, thanks, Nigel. You're really cheering me up. Although, I suppose it might take her mind off the babies for a bit.
She's made an heirloom shawl now. Surely there's an end to it.
Don't you believe it? Not only did she troop poor Lewis round the nursery last night, pumping him for ideas on the decor, but she's given me this.
You'll have to give me a clue, Lizzie.
I didn't know what to say. I just kept burbling on about what nice material it was.
But what's this hideous mess here?
I thought she'd been trying out the sewing machine tension, and then she informed me it was smocking.
Smocking?
You know, gathered and elasticated.
Good Lord, I remember old Walter Gabriel in a smock at one of Jennifer's farm open days.
It's a dying art, Julia informed me. And when you see her ham-fisted efforts, you can understand why.
But babies don't wear this sort of thing now, do they? They have those, well, you know, those dinky little stretch suits.
Grow bags, Julia calls them. She thinks they're ugly.
And this isn't. It's all the wrong shape. It'll hardly fit a hamster, let alone a baby.
I know, but what could I say? And she's cut out six of these little rhombus suits, and she's intending to smock them.
Where's all this heirloom business going to stop?
It isn't. Nigel, she won't rest till our babies look like a couple of minor royals, photographed at Balmoral, circa 1932.
Go on, off you go. Shoo!
All right, we'll stop me a moment.
Well, these little fellas are champions, Jill. You'll have to give Heather the recipe.
I think Betty Tucker made those. I've hardly done any baking for this morning myself.
More coffee, please, Jill. They're drinking it like it's going out of fashion.
Will you just boil the kettle up again, Chris? It is full.
Hey, you. Leave those alone. They're for the guests.
Charming.
They're like a couple of gannets.
Oh, come on, Solly. We know where we're not wanted.
Well, you're putting me to work, are you?
Oh, I'm sure I'll find something for you to do.
We'll be back for the leftovers.
There's a surprise. Bye.
Bye, love.
Bye.
Bye now.
Honestly, you'd think we didn't feed them.
Oh, I know.
I say, there's a really good turnout. I think Heather's been a bit of a draw. It's always nice to have someone new.
You must come and chat. Don't get stuck in the kitchen.
Oh, don't mind. I'll come through in a minute. What's the gossip?
Well, according to Marjorie, Janet's ordered the new hymn book.
Oh, good.
But after that, I got rather stuck with Peggy. She wanted my advice on recalcitrant husbands. Oh,
sounds interesting.
After his little heart scare, she's determined to get Jack to retire. Mm. I'm hardly the person to ask. It took me the best part of a year to get George out of that place.
Is it something about Grey Gables, do you think? You can check in, but you can't check out.
Peggy's got Caroline on her side, but Jack's being his usual self. He's working all week and he's still insisting on presenting the magnum of champagne to the winners of the raft race.
He just loves being the centre of attention, doesn't he?
That's the thing. Once he retires, he won't have an audience.
Except poor Peggy.
And then Jennifer's in a state about Debbie's new man. Bran won't have him on the farm.
Well, Phil was just the same. When I think of the times he stood in this kitchen ranting on about banning Nigel from the farm, saying what a wastrel he was...
Who's a wastrel?
Morning!
Nigel!
Hi, Mum. Sorry I'm late.
It's Mummy's fault, I'm afraid. She suddenly had a yen to come and commune with some fellow needlewomen.
Sorry?
She's collared Frieda Fry in the yard to ask her advice on smocking.
Oh, is Frieda here? Good. She's bringing some macaroons. How are you, dear?
Oh, getting pretty gross.
I think the word is blooming, Elizabeth.
Oh. It's a bit of an insult to flowers. Oh, I wish I felt as graceful as a lily or a rose.
Oh. What on earth's going on?
Oh, hello, Ruth. Would you like a coffee?
I'd like to know why there's cars all down the track and someone's parked in front of the grain store.
Oh, sorry, that's me. I was just dropping Lizzie and Mummy off.
Didn't David mention it?
What? It's the WI coffee morning.
I asked him to let you know I'd need the house this morning. Oh, Ruth, I am sorry.
Oh, so that explains why Healy and the kids are camped in the orchard.
Well, it's a nice enough day.
I think they're building dens. It looked like fun.
Are you sure you won't have a cup of coffee?
No, thanks, Jill. And if you could move your car, Nigel, I've got some farming to get on with.
So Julia insisted on coming with me, and then she expected everyone to be able to help her with her smocking. Cheers.
Cheers.
She was most put out when no one had a clue. And Ruth went for Nigel because he parked in front of the grain store for a nanosecond.
Sounds like a very successful morning.
It's about par for the course at Brookfield at the moment. So, what have you been up to?
Oh, this and that.
I wasn't sure if I was dragging you away from work when I suggested lunch.
No, not really.
Only, well, you didn't sound very keen.
No. I rang to cancel, actually. But you'd already left for your mother's.
Oh, Siobhan.
I'm just not fit company for anyone at the moment.
I'm sorry.
After I'd seen you on Friday, well, it suddenly hit me.
You've been coping so well.
That's what I thought. Too well, obviously. Poor old Tim's had the worst of it.
It's hard for both of you.
You see, I'd had it all planned out. We'd move to the country and I'd get pregnant. And like all the rest of my life, I thought it would just fall into place. And now that it hasn't, I'm finding it's not something I can just file away neatly. It's just the whole thing. The miscarriage, it just won't fit in with the way I run my life.
No.
That's the point, really, isn't it? I'm not in control anymore. And I find that really hard to accept.
Of course you do. Anyone would.
But it's worse for me because I've never had to deal with anything before that I couldn't plan for. Listen to me. I sound so stupid and self-obsessed.
Siobhan, you've lost a baby. You're allowed to feel anything you like.
But it's not me. I'm so resentful about people who are pregnant and people who have terminations.
Yes. I know what you're going through. I really do know.
You can't.
Look, hardly anyone knows this. When I was much, much younger, I got pregnant by a very unsuitable boyfriend. The situation was impossible. And although I wanted the baby, I had an abortion. At the same time, Ruth got pregnant with Pip. I couldn't look at her. I couldn't be kind to her. I had to be dragged to see the baby in the hospital. So I do know what you're going through. And I can quite understand why you feel we can't be friends anymore. It must just be too hard for you. I'm not going to push you. But if you change your mind, or if you ever want to talk...
No, please, don't go.
I have to.
No, sit down. I didn't know what I was going to say to you this lunchtime. That's why I tried to cancel. And I did think I might have to back off for a bit. But knowing that you do understand, and that you've been through it, in a way...
Do you think we can hang in there?
Oh, I'd really like to try.
Can't I do anything to help?
Well, not really, but you can help me unreel the fence wire in a minute.
Whatever did farmers do before they invented electric fences?
They spent a lot of time banging in wooden stakes.
At least that's something I could have helped you with.
Yeah. You know, it's nice to have someone to talk to.
Oh, aye. I've got that down to a fine art.
Anyway, we've got to stick together, well, with all these women in the house.
And Ethelfled's maidens on the arm. Oh. Ruth's going out running first thing, you know, with the vicar and that lawyer woman in costume.
She really?
There's going to be some sort of a race and start, apparently. She wants to get a good sprint ahead. I can't wait to see it.
Amazed that people are finding the time. I'm not sure about David playing cricket next Sunday. There's a field of early wheat that might be fit.
Oh, it's the game against your local department store.
Yeah, Underwood Sports and Social Club, yeah.
Sid was telling me about it. They've got a mean spin bowler. Works in soft furnishings.
I think Sid's taking his researches a little too far. It's only village cricket, after all.
Only? There'll be allegations of match-fixing next. Oh, hey, up here she comes.
Hiya.
Oh, hello, Ruth. You going to spray the spuds?
Hello, Pet.
What's this in aid of?
It's the trackway we said we'd put in for the extended grazing.
Did we?
Yes, the other week.
Oh, I know you were talking about doing it.
It's only temporary, like.
Oh, yes, we shall see how it works before we start driving in permanent stakes.
Oh, I see.
Surely didn't think I'd do anything else without consulting you and David. Right, Solly, I'll just get the wire from the Land Rover.
Oh, I right you are.
Oh, well.
What's up?
I still haven't got over Jill inviting 20 of her mates round for coffee in me house.
Is it your house?
Well, OK, no. And I suppose she did ask David to tell me.
So what's the problem with the trackway?
David and I have agreed to Phil's great idea for the grassland as an experiment. We'll try it this year, but I'm a bit worried about changing everything on a permanent basis.
Ruth, it's only an electric fence.
You don't know Phil like I do. He does things by stealth.
You make him sound like a politician.
I know my father-in-law. In his own quiet way, he has a knack of getting just what he wants.
Seat covers from the Capri. Steady,
go.
What about them?
Well,
can't you do something with them for me?
No, I can't. I'm still sewing sea pearls on Janet's headdress for Ethelflaed's maidens. You've got your costume for the fete.
Only a few old sacks of helmet.
Oh,
go on, Clara.
Look, I ain't got time. Anyway, did they have leopards in 10th century Britain?
Why not? They had wolves.
Oh, I know about wolves. So, William, back already? Where are you? We're in here. Eddie, watch that cloth. You'll be wiping dirt all over the cows instead of off of them.
I'm that blooming tired, love. I'm seeing bales in front of me eyes.
It's a bit of cash in hand, at least, doing Tony's baling. It's only you who's got a small bale around here now.
Yeah, another blooming antique.
Hiya.
Hello, love. Did Greg let you go early?
Yeah, he said he'd do the last walk around the birds. Yeah, there ain't any of those little cakes left in the tin.
Ah, that's because your granddad sold them all at the farmer's market this morning.
Oh, me?
Oh, I'm surprised he sold anything. He only goes for the gossip. It made me laugh, though, to hear about old Phil Archer staging a comeback at Brookfield.
How come?
He's been putting up electric fences without Ruth and David say so.
Oh, radical.
Well, I think Joe did very well. I don't know how we managed to make 60 quid just on cakes and cider vinegar.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of folk out to that market. It was even last month when I was there.
Mind you, if you take away the price of the ingredients and the Rayburn, and if I costed in my time...
Nothing, Clary.
And I start giving you my keep this week.
Oh, William.
No, it's okay, Mum. We have a deal. Oh, cool. They paid me for working last Saturday.
What should I talk?
And a 15 quid bonus for extra responsibility while Greg was away.
How about that?
So is 30 quid about right?
Well...
Hey, it's all right, son. Your mum and me reckon 25 should cover it.
You sure?
Providing you don't have another great bag of crisps and bottle of Coke before tea.
Oh, I'm starving.
Here, I'll give you something to take your mind off it. Finish off these last few cows and hose the parlour, Dean, for us, will you?
Hey, Dean, he's been out at work all day.
No, I haven't.
It's OK, Mum. I'll change my boots.
You can't be out with the bailer again.
No, I've just, got an appointment.
Oh, not more of Sid's blooming tactics for the raft race.
Something like that. I'll be back for me tea, darling. See ya.
See ya. Hmm. He's meeting Jolene, isn't he?
Is he?
Oh, I took the message.
She rang here?
Yeah. It'll be about backing tracks or something.
You reckon?
Must be writing you another love song, Mum.
You should have heard him on and on and on.
The little I know of Brian, I'm surprised he hasn't locked you in your bedroom.
Oh, he did. I only escaped by climbing down the wisteria. No, the winter barley and the rape are practically in now. Even he can't object to me having a night off.
He can if you're with me.
Well, yeah. Dad's eyes were rolling in his head when he realised it was you I'd been seeing. I mean, any man would have been bad enough.
No, don't tell me. Let me guess. He's old enough to be your father.
Yes,
you don't have to be Freud to work it out, do you?
Yeah, and then he went droning on about how these are the most important weeks of the year for us.
Because of the harvest?
Well, yeah, and because of the subsidy checks.
Oh, of course.
As if I don't know. He even tried to maintain it's not good policy to have someone in the combine cab with you. He says it's too distracting.
From what I can see, the machine does all the work. There's nothing to distract you from.
Precisely.
And if you're not meant to have anyone in the cab with you, why would they provide two coat hooks? And a reading lamp.
You really liked it in there, didn't you?
You can forget Concord. From now on, I'll insist on traveling by combine.
I don't know how Dad's got the nerve to give me a lesson on combine safety. I mean, he only ever drives a thing from the farmyard to the field.
He's got to assert his challenged authority somehow. It's all there in the golden bough.
Yeah, and who, last year, got it stuck in some overhanging branches? Whereas I've cut hundreds of acres of crops this year already.
Okay, I'm on your side. Have some dips.
Wow, he makes me so mad. Thanks. That one's fabulous.
Yeah?
Where's salmon?
Smoked salmon and mascarpone with a little dill.
Stop. I think Dad got the message in the end.
Look, Debbie, I really don't want to cause you any trouble with your parents. Not again.
No, you're not. I can handle it.
So they know you're seeing me right now?
Yep, I made that perfectly clear. I'm not lying to them. Why should I? I've got nothing to hide.
Good.
I'm 28. I may still live at home, but I'm not letting them treat me like a child.
Obviously, they think I'm bad news for you.
Well, I don't. I'm not going to sneak around the place with you any longer. I should never have done it in the first place.
Fine. So, you've told them you're seeing me tonight?
Yep.
But I bet you didn't tell them you were coming round to my apartment. No, I thought not.
That's it, Jamie. Down you come. Whee!
I want to do it again.
All right, up you go.
Sid? Jolene.
Hello.
I almost didn't recognise you from the back.
Well, it's been a while.
Well, you're half the man you used to be.
Oh. Yeah, well, I suppose I've lost a few pounds. I've been keeping fit, you know.
Yeah, so I see.
Your daughter's a bit old for the playground, Julie.
She sure is. She was 14 in June.
Never.
I'm afraid so. She's sharing a disco with Emma Carter on Saturday at the Village Hall.
Ah, of course. It's Emma's birthday, isn't it? Yeah, be careful, Jamie. If you're going on the climber.
What, me, Daddy?
Yeah, I will.
That's where Fallon is now, at the Carters. They're practicing their dance routines and hot waxing their hair.
Girls, eh?
So I'm just killing time till she's ready to go home.
How many are they having to this disco?
About 30. To be honest, I can't really afford it. And neither can Neil and Susan. The girls kind of talked us into it.
Oh, easily done when they're that age.
I've got to get my act together and set up some more classes to get the cash rolling in.
Oh, you're thinking of doing your line dancing again?
It seemed quite popular before.
Yeah. And have you thought about a venue?
The Cat and Fiddle, I suppose. Sean and Peter do me a pretty good deal, you know?
Yeah. Look, Jolene, why not bring your classes back to the ball?
Oh, Sid, we've been here before.
No, listen, it wouldn't be like last time.
That's what they all say.
No, I accept that maybe I was a bit hasty. It wasn't really fair of me to make you choose between the bull and the cat.
Or very sensible, as it turned out.
No. And now I've got that lovely function room upstairs going to waste.
So what exactly would be different from last time?
Well, I'll tell you what. Have the room for free like before, and I'll throw in, say, something to drink when you take a breather at half-time.
Well, that's what Sean gives me anyway.
Oh. Well, isn't there anything else I can do to tempt you?
I'm not sure. I promised Sean the business.
OK, then. Fair enough. All that and half price on everybody's first drinks when you come down at the end of the session. How about it?
That's a pretty attractive offer, Sid.
Is it a yes?
Let's shake on it.
All right.
You ought to try it out yourself.
Line dancing? Me?
With your new figure, you'd cut quite a dash. I can just see you in some nice, tight black jeans.
Hey, up, am I late?
You are.
Blimey, it's busy here for assignations tonight. I've already seen young Tommy and that girlfriend of his sneaking off towards the river.
I don't know if I'd call meeting Eddie an assignation.
Well, if anyone asks, I haven't seen you. Don't worry. Evening, Eddie.
How do? Evening, Jolene.
Hi, handsome.
Yes, well, I'd better be off. The bar's quiet because of harvest, but it's getting near Jamie's bedtime. Come on, son, time to go. All right, one last time.
He got a full team for Sunday, did he?
Yeah, I believe so. Oh, and tell William to keep practicing his catches in the slips. You never know what Underwoods might chuck at us.
Well, perhaps someone will drown in the raft race and you'll need your 12 man.
Well, no one's drowning off the bull boat. I can taste their champagne already. Yeah, don't forget final practice tomorrow night.
I'll be there.
Right. I'll leave you to it. Nice to see you again, Jelly.
And the same.
Ta-ra.
Come on, Jamie. I'll race you home.
Well, that was embarrassing.
What?
Meeting Sid. He obviously thought you and I had some sort of assignation.
Yeah, you needn't worry. Old Sid wouldn't know an assignation if it trapped his fingers in the till. More important, have you got what you promised me?
Bambolea! Bambolea!
Will you stop that prancing around? You're spilling your wine all over me.
I'll just have to lick it off,
no,
won't I?
No, you will not. Well, show me what to do with this chili.
Ah, you must know.
Why?
You must have de-seeded a chili before.
Well, I'm afraid that seems to be a rare gap in my education.
Don't you do any cooking at home at all?
I don't have to. Mum's such an ace cook, there didn't seem any point in learning.
So you're an expert on harvesting wheat, but you wouldn't have a clue what to do with a bag of flour.
Well, you can't be good at everything.
You may have tried to impress me with your threshing drum and your onboard computer, but I can see there's still a lot I could teach you.
And you don't mean about Margaret Atwood, I suppose. Or who's that other Canadian writer you're so keen on?
The late, great, neglected Robertson Davis.
Robertson Davis, yeah, that's the one. Uh-huh. The Rebel Angels. And what's bread in the bone?
Yeah, wonderful stuff.
You want more wine?
Yeah, thank you.
Now, this chili.
Ah, well, first, let's put the pan on the heat.
Okay.
Because we're going to use the chili to flavor the oil.
Okay, chef.
Along with the garlic and the ginger.
Which I've already chopped, see?
Clever, you're learning. And then, if I stand behind you and help you hold the knife...
Yeah, I'm not that clueless.
Well, we got to get out all the little seeds. Can't miss any, because they're hot.
Really hot. Ow!
That oil gets you. Yeah. I'll turn it down.
You're dangerous, you are.
Am I?
Yeah. This cooking business is far more risky than driving the combine.
Come on, Debbie, that's not what you meant, is it? I thought you told Brian that everything between us was 8 years ago, that we're different people now.
Of course we are.
Not everything's different, though, is it? One thing hasn't changed.
Are you watching that oil?
No. Do you want me to?
No. All right. I admit it. You're still the sexiest man on the planet. Are you happy now?
Thanks, Ruth. It's in gropes, is it?
I hope so.
Back of it! Back. Leave it to it.
A fast food van. How's Linda managed to reconcile that with Ambridge in the 10th century?
She says some Viking, Leif Erikson, was it, discovered America 500 years before Columbus.
So hamburgers and hot dogs are allowed. That's daft.
30, 40, 50. Well, that's Linda for you. At least she allowed Pat and Tony to bring their ice cream on the same principle.
While you're on that well-known Dark Ages attraction, pluck a duck.
The fate wouldn't be the fate without pluck a duck. Actually, if you wouldn't mind rolling up some of these raffle tickets and putting them in the straws.
No problem. Are you going to manage all right in that long skirt with your stick?
Peggy's coming to help me later. And Phil should be here by now.
Where is he?
He's gone to Waterley Cross to see Nick Spring. About the land marketing scheme of Debbie's.
He's not putting up a few new fences then while I'm out of the way.
Now, come on, Ruth. Phil and I have both apologised about Wednesday.
I know.
Morning.
Hello, Susan.
Ooh, like the costume.
Thanks.
It was Emma's in A Midsummer Night's Dream. More Tudor than 1000, but well.
It's Emma's birthday today, isn't it? Mm. Did she get what she wanted?
Yes, if the top of her wish list was to be Robbie Williams' girlfriend, no. But she's done pretty well.
Better than Shula spending her birthday in the car.
Yes. I hope she's right and they do miss the eclipse traffic.
This is Archer. Remind me, who's providing the hay bales for Thorzak's hurling area?
Brian.
Oh.
Debbie was going to bring them down.
She was here a minute ago, looking very chirpy.
She told me she'd had a bit of a late night.
Oh, yeah.
One, two, testing. Blimey, here we go. Oh.
Great, then, was the hopper of the grey locket of Hrothgar, warrior, giver of rings, shepherd of the trust of the shield of the Danes, shepherd of the people, tended to their wolves to tell them.
We might have American fast food, but I think Linda's been brushing up on her Anglo-Saxon.
Well done, Elizabeth. You've won some felt-tip pens.
I'll have to save them. Perhaps they'll turn the twins into Tintorettos.
Then you can exhibit them in your art gallery.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, not again. What with the PA and the smell from the burger van?
It's been brought to my attention that there seems to be rather a long queue for the soothsayer.
Didn't Cathy see it coming?
So if you're looking for an equally authentic 10th century experience, may I suggest that you make your way to the Herbal Remedies tent.
Surprise, surprise, Linda must be short of customers.
Just the place for a quick pick-me-up before the excitement of our raft race.
Which the ball are going to win?
You reckon?
Yeah, you wish. And to close the afternoon, an attraction you won't want to miss, the mighty Thor and his axe hurling demonstration. Thank you.
I wonder someone doesn't hurl an axe at her.
Now, Auntie Peggy. Look, I'm going for an ice cream. Shall I get you one?
Oh, no thanks, dear. Your mother's bringing me a cup of tea.
Oh, there's Siobhan. Siobhan, hiya. You made it.
So, good luck, everybody.
And may the best boat win!
Yes!
Yeah, ours!
Yes!
Ready, steady, and they're off. On the first leg of what promises to be a truly epic contest. Ladies and gentlemen, before you go, thanks to an arrangement which owes just a little to modern technology, I shall be keeping you up to date with every stage of the race's progress through my marshals, positioned at strategic points along the course. And, for heaven's sake, Emma, put the microphone down for me, will you? Anywhere. Hello? Robert? You're supposed to be at Edric's Ditch? What do you mean you're still in the stocks?
The cat made a blooming good start.
We'll catch him.
William and his mates and the young farmers ain't doing so bad either.
At least the girls are well behind.
Warrior maidens, eh?
It's the sea cadets we've got to watch out for.
Yeah. I thought they only ever went on the boat in Lake in the Botanic Gardens.
That cat boat will never left the course. Blooming prow shaped like a sea snake.
Looks good, though.
I'll get caught in the willows. Right there. What did I tell you?
They're taking on water.
Oh, yes. Result.
Roy Tucker's overboard. Come on, Sid. Let's go for it.
Excuse me.
Oh, sorry.
What are you doing lurking behind the stage?
I've become a secret eater. This is my third ice cream.
Well, you've got a good excuse.
I'm starving the whole time.
Mrs. Pargeter's excited about her grandchildren, isn't she?
A bit too excited, if you ask me. Are you going back to the tea tent?
Yeah, they need this crockery.
I'll come with you. I could do with a drink. Yes, Julia's very involved. Only the other day she took me out and made me buy these vast bras.
Oh, dear.
Honestly, you could use the cups for pedal bin liners. And Nigel's no better.
So, has Jack slowed down at all?
Not one bit.
Oh, dear.
You know Jack. It's not going to be easy to persuade him.
He said my tummy's already the size of the Millennium Dome.
Is that Elizabeth?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What's going on?
In fact, the worst thing about the twins is that you're thinking we planned the Millennium Dome.
Oh, no. I know he wasn't.
Yes, some kind of marketing gimmick.
What? They must be standing near the microphone.
Well, you see, when I was doing Mrs. Hodges' book, there was this
tag. Phil, could we have that microphone off, please?
I was just knitting the machine, and it was you and Nigel.
I don't think the whole village needs to know.
I'm just going to add muscles, like an old falling wrestler.
You should be grateful. Some people pay good money at the gym for exercise like this.
Come on, put your backs into it.
Yeah. I don't mind the sea cadets and the old farmers. I will not be beaten by the ball.
No way! Come on, Brenda, pull! Pull!
Eddie, find your oar! Oh,
right, you're flipping it!
They've run aground!
Serves and plumbing well dry!
Well, what do we do now? Steer for the other bank?
Too shallow. The current will be slow.
But there's no room to pass.
Oh, Hayley!
She's got the right idea.
While we wait for the exciting finale to the raft race, ladies and gentlemen, may I apologise for the unfortunate incident with the public address system earlier this afternoon. I do apologise for any embarrassment caused, and... But I can see our brave contestants now as they race back towards us, and I can tell you it's the young farmers in the lead from the Sea Cadets with Ethel Flaird's maidens coming up on the inside. It's still the young farmers, but Ethel Flaird's maidens are making a valiant effort now, and... yes, they've overtaken the Sea Cadets. And as they arrive at the green, it's the young farmers from Ethel Flaird's maidens by a neck, ladies and gentlemen. With the Sea Cadets, a well-deserved bird.
One large orange squash. Think we could let you have it on the ice?
Oh, ta. Oh, that's better.
Oh, you did really well coming in second.
Oh, and the prize for best boat.
Not too sure about letting the young farmers loose on a magnum of champagne, though.
I'm more worried about this free massage Linda Snell's jumped in and offered the winners.
William's only 16. Should think you could do with a massage yourself.
No, I'll settle for hot bath. I'm covered in slime,
oh,
look.
Yeah. Oh, and poor Ailey didn't want to get wet.
It were her idea. She were first over the side. You been busy here?
Oh, non-stop. Oh, except when I took a break and broadcast the full details of everything we heard on that tape about Nigel and Elizabeth, you know, over the tannoy.
No, he didn't.
Linda had only gone off and left the microphone switched on.
How awful.
You know, I don't know, I keep getting mixed up with that family. Mrs. Pardgett has been after me to ask if I can do smock in there.
Oh, hello.
Please, one
fine
piece of entertainment.
Oh, this will be this Thor bloke.
Ah, yeah. Eddie shot off after the race to collect him, or so he said.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, if you could just keep back behind the bales, please. Thank you. Thor will be with us in a few seconds.
Come on, we've got to see this.
Not just a display skill.
I suppose. Yes. Soap is as gorgeous as everyone says.
And here he is, the man we've all been waiting for, the mighty Thor.
Hey, excuse me. Sorry.
Like many lucky warriors, Thor is, and is so, bare-chested.
which, corrupted into bear shirters, gives us our berserk.
Can't see a thing.
What's he like?
Hang on. Oh, he's blonde, long beard, a sort of crisscross garter thing on his trousers.
That's worry not, ladies and gentlemen. Forward to the game berserk today.
Let's get a bit closer.
Okay. Excuse me.
Can I just...
Excuse me.
He will amaze you all there, sure, with the power and accuracy of his throw. The mighty Thor.
That's better.
Excuse me, sorry.
Oh, he's not so good close too. He's a bit fat. And that wig looks more like Dolly Parton caught in a downpour.
Let's see.
Could we have to be silent, please?
I recognise that bear gut anywhere.
Thor's concentration must not be interrupted.
Who is it?
And them old car seat covers.
Peace.
Eddie!
Shh!
Hello! Mr. Bullard, look out!
Oh, my goodness!
The Archers was written by Joanna Toy and the agricultural story editor was Graham Harvey. It was directed in our Pebble Mill studios by Julie Beckett and the editor is Vanessa Whitburn.